Best Friends podcast. I am your host and very best friend, Aurora. Today is everybody's favorite episode, tea time. We're going to be talking all about gossip. We're going to be talking about the things that you won't tell anyone else, but you do decide to tell me anonymously so I can share them with the world. Little life update. On Saturday, I went with my friend Hannah to grab some coffee and buy some crystals, and we were talking and hanging out. And because we were in Utah County, and I live in Salt Lake County, while we were there, I thought, hey, let's stop by the place that I went to get my conch pierced and have them switch out my earring, because it's been a little over 4 months, pretty well healed, and I've been hanging on to this earring since I got my conch pierced and I really want it switched out. So I went there. Turns out that the earring that I got was the wrong size and it was too small. And I was very sad about it. But while I was there, I just decided on a whim to get my nose pierced. So now my nose is pierced, which is, I'm so glad I finally did it. I have been wanting to get my nose pierced for a while. Like, I want to say it was the end of last summer, maybe, that I like really decided I really wanted one. My friend Casey had given me a fake nose ring, and I was obsessed. I wore it every single day. And then a few months ago, I left it in California at our Airbnb. I would take it out when I sleep, because obviously it's not a real piercing, and I would put it on, like, you know those little ledges in the bathroom that go around the sink, you guys know what I'm talking about, like where the counter comes up and meets the wall, there's like a tiny, like half an inch lip that goes all the way around. So I had placed it there and it just blended in with the countertop. And so I didn't realize that I'd left it until we were on our way to the airport after we checked out of the Airbnb. And I was like, wow, that's kind of a bummer, even though it costs like $6 to buy a pack of like six. So I just never got around to ordering another one. And so I went and just decided on a whim to get my nose pierced, and I love it. It is, I would say, not the least painful to get, but as in terms of like healing, it's doing great. It doesn't bother me. It's not currently bothering me. It definitely hurt for a little bit, but now it doesn't really hurt like at all. Like I forget that it's there. So I'm excited in a little while to get it changed out for a hoop, because that's what I actually want. So that's a little fun update. Less fun update that has to do with the same thing though, is that yesterday I thought it would be a great idea to take that earring that was too small for my conch, because it was a little expensive. It's opal, and it's really pretty and like sterling silver, and I really wanted to use it. And so I thought, hey, how about I swap out one of my helix piercings with this earring, right? Because I have not switched out those piercings since I got them done 5.5 years ago. So I switched the top one out and put this earring in, and I was like, wow, it's so cute. It's a little tight, which may be the issue here. Anyway, it's infected now. So that's fun. I literally last night as I was laying in bed, I woke up at like 2 a.m. because it hurt so bad that I could not sleep, and I was up for like an hour. I had to go take some ibuprofen, and as I was laying in bed, my catastrophic thinking got me to, I was like, oh my God, I must have sepsis, like somehow, because I was also feeling really nauseous. And I was like, oh my God, this earring is going to ruin my life. They're going to have to cut my ear off, and I'm going to have to go to the ER tomorrow and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, woke up. It's feeling way better than it was last night. I'm just continuing to rinse it with saline. I'm going to give it like another day, I think, and see how it's feeling tomorrow. And if it's still hurting and looking bad, or it looks worse, because it's not swollen or anything, it just looks, just kind of hurts a little bit. So if it's still in a bad place tomorrow, then I will probably go into my piercer and be like, hey man, am I doing okay? Do we need to switch it out? Blah, 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 blah. So we will see. I will update you guys, but for now I am in pain. And it was my own fault. So let's get into today's episode. I don't think I have any other life updates for you guys, except for that I took my kids to the thrift store yesterday, and Bastion convinced me to get him 2 board games that were at the thrift store. So we brought home Monopoly Junior and Life, And he has been making us play life constantly. And I do not love the game of life. For some reason, I had like this fond memory of it that I was like, oh, it'll be so fun to play life. It's not that fun to play life. And I just am not a big fan of how much he wants to play it. But I will say what's cute is that every single time we play, he chooses to be a lesbian woman, which is so fun. Every single time we play, he says he wants to be a girl, and then he picks a girl for his wife. And it's just always really fun. So now that I've given that useless update, let's talk about some tea. Let's talk about some drama. Let's talk about some gossip. This one says, I'm planning on leaving the church, but I'm still planning to go to my brother's wedding since my temple recommend hasn't expired yet. Good for you. You do you. This one says, okay, this isn't quite tea, but I'm going to share anyways because I'm excited. My girlfriend's family has been very not eager to meet me. They're very homophobic and I'm not allowed in their house. My girlfriend had to move home last year because of COVID, so she's constantly dealing with it. We were going to go to her community pool on Saturday, but I had a migraine and canceled. When she got home from visiting me, she saw her mom and niece and nephew were wet from the pool. Her mom wanted to sneakily meet me, so she brought them over when she thought we would be there. Made me really happy. Her need to know who I am or what I look like overrode her homophobia. That's kind of fun. That's cute that she was like, that's cute that her mom was like, okay, maybe I do actually want to meet her. Even if it was just morbid curiosity, I feel like that's a good step. Okay, this one says, tea time. I almost ran a man over while he was crossing a crosswalk downtown because I looked down at my phone for 3 seconds to change episodes of this literal podcast and I didn't step on the brake all the way, so my car kept inching forward and I looked up to see him like flailing his arms at me and yelling at me, LMFAO. So I parked and said, I'm so sorry out the window, and he just backed up really, really slowly and gave me the dirtiest look, ha 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 ha. Okay, that happened to me once. I was driving downtown as well. I was pulling up into the Whole Foods parking lot and for like a split second, I got distracted by something and this lady just walked across the crosswalk and I almost hit her and I was like, ooh, sorry, my bad. I felt so bad. And then, okay, this other thing happened. And I think about this constantly. Like I think about this probably at least 2 or 3 times a month, and this happened probably about 6 years ago. Like that is how much I think about this. So my husband used to work at Zupa's, and he used to work at this one location in Sandy at the Quarry Bend location. If you live in Utah, I don't know why I included that information. That literally doesn't help any of you, but he worked at this one location. And on this day, I had just gotten a new job. It was my first corporate job, and I had just left the drug testing center because I had to get drug tested to go to this job. That was before I did drugs, so I was clean. But I got to the drug testing center, and for the first time in my entire life, did not have enough pee in my body. If you know me, you've been listening to the podcast for a while or anything, I have to pee constantly. And when I say constantly, I mean, I probably pee, this is embarrassing, probably like 20 times a day. And I get up to pee at least once a night to pee, if not like 3 times a night to pee. It used to not be so bad before I had kids, but now it's like constant. And it's not even like pelvic floor issues. I think it's just that I've trained myself to feel like I have to pee when I really don't have to pee. But also I feel like I have a really small bladder. Like I feel like pee just goes through me and I have to pee all the time. So I'd gone to this drug testing center and I could not pee. Like I peed out the tiniest dribble and they were like, okay, well, we can't let you leave. Because like, what if you're going to go steal someone else's pee or something for this test? And so they had to call my new employer and be like, hey, your new employee cannot pee enough to like get this pee out. Are you okay if she leaves and comes back in 30 minutes? Because I had to go pick up my husband from work. And so my new employer okayed it, but it like made everything kind of weird. And so they gave me a huge drink of water. And on the way, I grabbed some coffee so I could like really pee, you know, because coffee makes you pee. So I'm driving down this road and I get to the turn to go into the like shopping center where my husband works. And so I'm about to make a left-hand turn, right? And this man starts walking across the crosswalk. I of course see this and I stop. So I had started going through the crosswalk I'd started making the turn when he started running across the crosswalk. So I stop. Well, the car behind me either did not see that someone was crossing the crosswalk or was just stupid and mean. And they honked at me for stopping in the middle of this crosswalk. My windows are down, right? So this man who is crossing the crosswalk thinks that it was me who honked at him. And he threw an open can, not can, an open cup, like a huge big gulp cup of soda at me. And it got all over me and all over my windshield. And he like started swearing at me as he ran off. And I was so in shock. And I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. Because first of all, I did not honk at you. I did not. I think about that man literally all the time because I want him to know that I did not honk at him. I would never honk at someone for crossing a crosswalk. Like, I mean, yeah, he probably should have looked and seen that I was already in the middle of the intersection before he crossed, but like pedestrians have the right of way. I stopped. I wasn't mad about it. No one was coming to hit me. The person behind me was an asshole for honking at me, but like I did not deserve to have an entire big gulp size, like cup of soda thrown at me. So anyway, yeah, so that's my crosswalk story. It literally, I think about it all the time. I'm so like, I'm half super mad about what happened and half like, I really wish I could explain to that man what happened so he doesn't think that I honked at him, you know? Because I'm sure that he remembers that story very differently than me. He remembers that this stupid dumbass lady honked at him and so he threw his soda at her to, you know, because she honked at him for no reason. Anyway, this story says, I have been happily married for 5 years, have a 1-year-old baby, and figured out about a month ago that I am a lesbian. Oof. Here's the thing about that. And honestly, we talk about this pretty frequently, and I think it's because growing up in Utah, or at least I know a lot of my listeners, have grown up similarly to me, where they grew up in the church, and whether they still are or not, they have that upbringing. And I think it's so natural for us to not recognize our sexuality, if it's anything but heterosexual, when we are younger. And I know I've talked about that before, like there's a whole episode like a year ago about, you know, me realizing that I'm bisexual. I have a long YouTube video on it. Go and watch that if you have any questions. But I think it's so normal for us to not recognize those feelings. And I will be honest that when I realized that I was bisexual, I went through a little period of time where I was like, maybe I'm a lesbian. And I will say that I'm super, super attracted to my husband and I do really like him. But when I realized I was bisexual and I came out as bisexual, or it was a little before I actually came out publicly, but after I came out privately to like some friends, I had this period where I was like, I think that the only man that I'm attracted to is my husband. Like, I don't think I'm attracted to any other man. I don't know if any other men are attractive. Like, maybe this means I'm a lesbian and because I'm also demisexual, I'm attracted to my husband because I'm in love with him, but, and I've been with him for so long, but maybe I'm a lesbian. And so it took me months to kind of work through that personally and internally before I recognized like, okay, no, I fully am bisexual. I just kind of had like this period of like, maybe I'm trying to think of the right word. Like overcompensating, if that makes sense. Like I feel like my brain kind of overcompensated for how long my sexuality was repressed. And I like went too far and was like, okay, maybe I'm a lesbian. And then I was like, okay, I'm actually not a lesbian, but I do prefer women over men in most cases. I'm not trying to say this to this listener that I think you're probably bisexual because I totally believe you and I think you're lesbian and I love that for you. Except for the situation you're in, I don't love that for you. But I think that's a normal reaction to have when you are raised this way, the way that we were in this really oppressive church where you're not allowed to be anything but heterosexual or else you will go to hell. And I think, honestly, I have seen a lot of people that I follow on Instagram recently who have left the Mormon church and then realized shortly thereafter that they are lesbian, that they are gay. And I know that must be so hard, especially if you are married and have children, because I think something that a lot of people don't realize. So there's this girl that I follow who recently came out as lesbian, and she left the church, I want to say a year or two ago, and she announced that she like came out on Instagram like a month or so ago. I think it was during Pride Month, so 2 months ago. She came out and was like, hey, if you've known me anytime, you know, over the last 5 years, you didn't actually know me. I've left the church. It was really like a huge long process, and also I'm a lesbian. And her comments were filled, like half of them were like, oh my God, I support you so much. I think that's so great. Like, I'm so happy for you. And the other half were like, what the hell? What about your husband? You guys have children together. I feel so bad for your husband. And like, yes, I do feel bad. I feel sad because that's going to be a traumatic experience for both of you. And I think so many times people who don't understand how that feels, people who don't understand what it's like to question your sexuality and feel pressured into fitting a mold that you don't actually fit in, I think their instinct is that you are, you know, caving into this temptation to sin, quote unquote. And because of that, you're ruining this happy life that you built with someone else. And it's interesting because Seth and I have talked about this at length. In fact, we talked about it a lot before I even came out. Like what we would do if one of us came out, like if one of us realized at that point in our lives after we got married, what would happen if we were gay. And we talked about it on both sides of the coin. Seth is very comfortable in his sexuality. He knows he's straight, but we've talked about it a lot. And, you know, it was one of those things where like, we would be sad because it would be the ending of our marriage, obviously, but we would still be like best friends. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like if I had realized that I was a lesbian and I told Seth, he would have been sad, yes, because he was losing me as his wife, but he would be supportive of me because I am living as I truly am, and we would be best friends still, right? Because, and I think at that point, for me personally, if I found out that I was a lesbian, I think we would just start having like an open marriage until we got to a point where we both felt ready to like get divorced and move on. But I think it's so, I think that's so difficult. And I think that's something that a lot of people who have not questioned their sexuality just don't get. That I think that it's, they just don't understand how heartbreaking it is to realize that the life you've been living is not authentic to who you are. And also that you recognize that it is going to hurt the people that you're with. And I think that there is so much of a struggle of like, okay, do I continue living this way for the rest of my life, not completely happy because I love the people that I'm with so much that I don't want to hurt them? Or do you hurt them temporarily so you can live your most authentic life? And I think that there's no right answer. And I'm so sorry to this person who's going through this because I know that that's hard. And I really hope that you guys are able to live authentically and that you guys are able to, that you're able to move past this in a way that is constructive and allows both of you to be the happiest versions of yourself you can. Also, there's construction going on outside my house because my neighbor is digging up his whole backyard. So if you guys can hear that, I'm sorry. Also, on this tangent about my neighbor, I think he has a body buried in his yard. I'm not even kidding. He has done a lot of work in his backyard recently. He's had contractors coming and going for the last few months, like sporadically. Like he had a tree taken down. He had two trees taken down, and then he had other contractors come to dig up the stumps. And then he recently ripped out an entire shed. And on a few days ago, he had some people come and they dug up all of that. And then they dug up his yard, like half of it, laid down gravel and then cement. So he has an RV pad now. But there is a section of his yard that we can see from our window, from my office window, that is a grave-sized section of dirt that has been dug up recently within the last month or so, and there are weeds starting to grow out of it. But you can very distinctly tell that there's like this patch of grass that has been taken out, and all the grass around it is growing, but this one spot that is just dirt with a few weeds that have poked through. And it's fairly recent, so I'm terrified. His wife is still alive, saw her yesterday, so it's not his wife, but I do feel like there's a body in his yard, and none of the contractors have touched that spot. As they've been here, I've been watching. And like the guy is always like really closely watching them as they're working, so I'm stressed about that. So my neighbor might be a murderer. Anyway, moving on from that, this next one says, I often talk to myself in a British accent. I trust myself more. I sound more competent. I can get where you're coming from. This one says, I still have a set of keys from every place I've ever worked. I have to tell you guys, I still have a set of keys from what is it called? I still have a set of keys from when I worked at Camera Shy in Utah. I still have a key and the code. So I could break in any time, but I will not because I am a nice person and I don't see any reason to do that. But I have those keys as well. And I love that for us. This one says, my shitty ass roommate put me as a reference for her new place and I was honest about her shit. Okay, I've done that before. So I had a roommate in college who was just really difficult to live with. She wasn't an original roommate. She kind of just got like, she didn't like her roommates and she was really good friends with one of my roommates. And so she started sleeping on our couch and I complained to my other roommates and was like, if she's going to be sleeping here every single night and like eating our food and hanging out with us all the time, she should be paying rent. Like we should include her in this. And they agreed. And so she like sold her lease at her old apartment and moved in. We lived in a one bedroom. So the whole situation where she moved in with us was not ideal, but she did move in with us. But the longer she lived with us, the more I realized that we just did not get along. She was very passive aggressive. And like, it just wasn't the agreement, you know, that I had moved into, right? I did not like living with her. She was very passive aggressive. So there was a job opening where I worked and she applied and she put me down for a reference. And my boss and the HR manager pulled me into their office and was like, okay, you were put down as a reference. We're going to hire her. What are your thoughts? And I told them not to hire her. And I was like, hey, I do not want to work with her. I was like, I know that she came in and applied and she's my roommate, but I can tell you, I was like, I don't know. I can't speak from like a professional standpoint. Like I've never worked with her before, but I can tell you personality wise and what she's like living in my home. I do not want to work with her. She's incredibly passive aggressive. This is how she handles conflict. And like now looking back, she probably would have been a fine employee. Like I think the way that we act at home is often very different than how we work in professional spaces, but also I would not have wanted to work with her. Anyway, so she did not get hired and because of me. And they were like, oh, okay, we were going to hire her, so thanks for saying something. And I was like, yeah, well, I don't really like being the person that made that decision. But and then she kept bugging me and was like, hey, like, I thought that I had this in the bag. Like, I thought I interviewed really well. Do you know why they didn't hire me? And I'm like, no, I have no idea. And she even asked me once, like, did they talk to you, like, as a reference? And I was like, yeah, I think. I don't know. Anyway, it was completely my fault. I don't think she listens to the podcast. So no harm, no foul. But it was, I've held on to that for a long time. Okay, this one says, I had a roommate who tormented me, so I sold her textbooks during exam week. That is, that's something. That is diabolical, but I can't say that I would not feel the same way. Okay, this one says, I peed my pants in third grade because everyone told me that the girls' bathroom was haunted and I absolutely believed it and I was too scared to go by myself. You know, I would have done the same thing. This one says, the first time I had my boyfriend visit my hometown, I got food poisoning and pooped my pants, then spent the whole night alternating between puking and pooping. Okay, here's the deal. You know that you've got a good one when, like, I think that's the ultimate test, right? Is that when you do something like that, you poop your pants, you pee your pants, you vomit all over, and they still love you, and they don't, like, they can be kind of grossed out about it, but, like, you know, when that happens, and they still love you, and they act like it wasn't that big of a deal, that's when you're like, wow, you really love me. Like, when I was pregnant with Rosen, I remember an instance where, so I was going into preterm labor and we stopped by my midwife's, office to see if she thought like, so she could check to see if I was dilated, to see if she thought like we could calm it down or if I needed to go into the hospital. And when we pulled up, we walked outside of the car and I immediately like dropped to the ground and vomited in some bushes. And I'm just vomiting and vomiting and I pee my pants because when you're vomiting, it's hard to not pee your pants. And Seth was just rubbing my back and he was not a big deal to him and he did not care. And that happened multiple times during my pregnancy where I would vomit and pee my pants at the same time. And there was one time that was so bad in my own bathroom that I had to have him get a towel because I had a full bladder And it was like, do I pee first or vomit first? And I was like, vomit, because otherwise it's going to go all over the floor. And then joke's on me, I peed all over the floor. But I like just started peeing and as I'm vomiting, and I was like, get a towel, as I'm like vomiting everywhere. And he did. And he was so sweet, and he did not care about it. And he just cleaned it up. This one says, my friend dropped her Diva cup in her new boyfriend's bathroom, spilling it everywhere. What did her boyfriend do, though? That's my question. This one says, one of my good friends pooped in a guy's bed, and now they're married. She just pooped in her sleep. That's incredibly embarrassing. That's incredibly embarrassing. I'm so happy to know that, and I'm curious how that ended. Like, oh, no, wait, you did get married. They got married. Okay, so, again, an act of true love. This one says, in eighth grade, I leaked period blood onto a chair. When I got up, some kids went, what's that? And then proceeded to touch and smell it. Huh. Listen, whoa, I just got the shivers thinking when I read that. That's disgusting. Listen, I'm not trying to demonize periods. That is just a normal, natural part of life. But that still doesn't make it it's kind of gross to do this. Oh, I feel so uncomfortable. My mom picked me up from school one day because I was sick. I had to barf out of the car window. There was a dude in a convertible behind us. That is hilarious. That poor guy had no idea what's coming for him. Why'd you puke out the window instead of like having her pull over? And I mean, I guess when it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But this one says, I accidentally broke my finger in my son's pediatrician's office. I mean, there's no better place to break your finger. They said, I caught my ring on the dead latch of an exam room door and it just snapped. Oh my God. I hate that. That makes me so horrified. Oh God. I literally feel so uncomfortable now. This one says, I went on a camping trip with an ex. I have social phobia. It was a college group trip, and I didn't know that I had any food allergies. Him and two other people went with me to find the outhouse. We walked to the wrong end of the campground. It was a well house instead of an outhouse, and I couldn't hold in my poop. They all just turned their backs as I did chair pose against the well house wall and shit all over the wall like a Jackson Pollock painting. Well, you did say that it was an ex, so... so yeah. This one says, I was dating a guy for about 3 weeks on my period and I leaked all over his bed. I tried to cover it with my foot to see if I can clean it. He ended up realizing and told me not to worry about it and that things happened like that and that I was going to be the mother of his children one day. I thought he was crazy, but fast forward 8 years later, we are married and I have a daughter. The keepers will love your every flaw. And that's the thing. The people that, I mean, I'm not saying it's not okay to get grossed out by stuff like that that happens, because like I love my kids, but when I have to wipe, like it's not like I like wiping the shit off their butts, you know? So I think it's okay for you to be grossed out when something like that happens with your partner, but to like be loving and accepting and know that it's not necessarily like, it's not like they wanted to shit their pants, you know? But that's how you know that's that's how it goes. This one says, I burped so loud in front of a guy on accident that it echoed in the fast food place we were eating at. It literally came out of nowhere right as I said the word taco. Can you imagine just saying the word taco and you just belch? Like, okay, but accidental belching is so embarrassing. Speaking of embarrassing things, because that's what this whole episode is about, I have to I have to tell you guys. So I remember this story. I maybe have said this before on the podcast, I don't know, but when I was breastfeeding Bastion, so after I had Bastion, I was working at my job, so I was a rider, and I went in like 3 times a week, and I would pump while I was there, obviously, and I really liked my job, it was great, and I was on a pretty consistent pumping schedule, right? I pumped as often as I nursed, right? So it was like every 3 hours, I want to say, I would go up into this little closet that was really hot, had no ventilation, and I'd plug my little pump in, and I would sit there, and I'd pump for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. Can't even remember. It's been a long time. I think it was 15 minutes. I would pump for 15 minutes, and, you know, and then I would just move on with my life. And the thing about pumping is that when you pump, if you've never breastfed before or pumped, the letdown and the way that the milk leaves your body when you pump is different than when you're nursing. And so that's why, like, people say that the amount of milk that you pump out isn't necessarily a good indicator of how much you're actually producing, because it's just different. Babies are much better at just sucking it out, I guess. Anyway, so it was pretty common that when I would pump, I wouldn't get out as much milk as I would at home. And so what would happen is I would get kind of not fully clogged ducts, but I would get a clogged duct, but not like bad enough that it turned into mastitis or something, but just enough that like it would hurt. So it feels like you, for anyone that's never made milk with their boobs, it feels like you get like a big lump on the side of your boob. And for me, it would almost always be up into my armpit. And the way to get rid of those is to massage them, right? But when you massage them, the milk is released. So you want to be sitting, you want to be pumping or nursing while you release that. And then the milk comes out and then it relieves the pain and then it doesn't get worse. So there was a day that I had been pumping and I'd been doing fine. Like, it wasn't like things were really bad or anything, but I was sitting in a meeting afterward, with just two of my coworkers, and we were like brainstorming writing topics or something. And, I stretched, and when I stretched, my bra strap, or like the side of my bra, hit against one of the like my little clogged ducts that I had, and completely absentmindedly, without even like noticing I was doing it, I very gently pressed on it because I felt it against my bra and I was like, oh, that's uncomfortable. And I pressed it without really thinking about it and immediately just started leaking milk. And it was so embarrassing. I like excused myself super fast, but I'm sure my coworkers noticed, and I had to run to the bathroom. And there wasn't really a good way to clean it up. So I ended up like rubbing water all over it to try to like, I mean, so it wouldn't look like a milk leak, right? There were a lot of times at that job though that I leaked milk. And it was always embarrassing. And I'd always be like, well, I don't know how this happened, but here we go. I'm so glad to be past that stage of my life. Okay, I'm just going to read a few more before we wrap up. This one says, I ripped my pants from the front all the entire way to the back because of the swing in front of my crush when I was like 14. This one says, I farted in front of the whole class and teacher as a freshman in high school while we were taking a quiz, and even the teacher busted out laughing. There is just something about farts that are so funny. We all know they are. And we just have to own up to that and accept that farts are really funny and it's okay to laugh at them. But also, as a person who tries not to fart in front of other people, I think the etiquette is to ignore it. Pretend it didn't happen, because then you will just embarrass them, right? So if you can hold it in, don't laugh. But if you do laugh, try not to feel too bad. Also, if you are the farter and someone else laughs, just laugh along with them. That'll make it less embarrassing. You can just be like, wow, this was such a funny thing that happened to me. Anyway, thank you everybody for sending in your submissions for tea time. It is always so fun to hear all of the embarrassing things that you do in your day-to-day life. And yeah, make sure that you are following the podcast Instagram at Your Best Friends Podcast, so that way you can participate in these episodes. You don't have to wait until I announce another episode to send me all of your tea time stories and your gossip. You don't have to wait for that. I do these about once a month, as you know, if you have been listening for a while. So make sure that you send those in. My favorite is when somebody sends it to me like as soon as it happens. They're like, oh my God, this just happened to me and I have to tell you to include it in the next episode. So I will be doing like a call for them, but you can send them to me anytime, just in my DMs. Make sure that you go leave a 5-star review on the podcast app. And I love you all. Good night.